Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another fabulous edition of Real Life Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Tarand, and I am very pleased to have a special guest on today, Debbie Bridge. So this is a special episode. We will be also doing our Thursday noon episode, but I really wanted to have a chat with Debbie. The work she does is extremely powerful. She is a trained facilitator of the work of Byron Katie. And I know a lot of my clients and people that I work with are very familiar with Byron Katie. It is absolutely one of the most powerful tools I've come across to really reduce suffering and help people to inquire about their thoughts, their belief systems. Are they serving them? And the process is beautiful in just helping us let go of those thoughts that are causing a lot of unnecessary suffering in our lives. And we really can be much, much happier. So I know Debbie attended the school for the work of Byron Katie and says that everything in her world has shifted as a result. And since she's attended several workshops, lots of classes, training seminars, retreats, and a year-long immersion program with Innerland Institute. So over the past couple years, she's discovered over and over that the work is one of the most efficient ways to ease suffering. It's a simple method of self-inquiry that even children can learn. And I have actually guided my kids through it a little bit. I'd like to learn even more, though, so I can be more effective at that. In her personal practice, Debbie's come to see how the work is impacting her relationship with her children, and I know one of her passions is working with parents because it has had such a profound impact on her own parenting. So she's been able to become a lot more present, connecting in a deeper way, and really being more calm and peaceful. And I know that impatience and that anger that wells up as a parent, I have three daughters of my own, is really one of the things that we abuse ourselves most for. So I'm super excited to find out a little more and to share with you the work. So welcome, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Jerry. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that was a wonderful intro. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. I was fortunate that you came into my heart-to-heart healing circle and led a group of us through the work. And I know people really did gain a lot of insight about themselves and why they suffer. And there were some pretty good surprises there too, I think, for a lot of people. So I would love if you could just tell us a little bit about what drew you into this work and how it's impacted you and your life.
Yes, thank you. A friend of mine a few years ago kept referring to Byron Katie and her book, Loving What Is, and how helpful it was in her life. And for some time, I just disregarded it. And then one day, I just decided to ask her more about it. So I picked up the book. I also listened to it on audio. I love it through Audible audio because you can hear the live dialogues. And I just became obsessed. Looked her up on YouTube, watched as many videos as I could. And then that only really takes you so far because at some point you have to just do the work yourself. It's very different watching it than it is doing the work. And I was experiencing a little jealousy with a friend And so I did the work on, you know, I would love her to, you know, I think she should call me more. I think she should include me. These kinds of little things, these little childish feelings that we actually have going on that we don't always pay attention to and we push aside. But what I really
right.
found in the work when I did that, when I inquired into these little beliefs that were getting in the way of me having an authentic relationship, was that I wasn't, you know, giving myself enough attention. And indeed, I wasn't even giving her enough attention. I was expecting her to do all of the heavy lifting in our relationship. So it really shifted that in our friendship.
Yeah. So it's pretty much like, I love that it's all about really turning things around and taking responsibility and really taking our power back. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how people
yeah.
tend to kind of, you know, blame the outside. And that's not always the most effective ways to heal ourselves, right? We look for someone to blame when something's not quite going the way we want it to in our life.
Yeah. I mean, we tend to just naturally do that, but it's definitely a painful way to live, and it doesn't really even work for us. So the work is definitely about radical responsibility, taking responsibility for everything. Having said that, the work is intended to be a gentle process. So it's not about, you know, thrashing yourself and keep saying, you know, I suck, I keep doing it wrong. That's not the intention at all. It's more just about waking up to your responsibility, to your part. And sometimes there's, you know, a real cracking open inside and a sort of feeling of grief or sadness, but it's really not the same as beating yourself up. It's just like, oh my goodness, I really didn't know I was doing that. Like that with my friend. I did not know that I was expecting her, you know, to be doing all of the inviting, all of the whatever it is in a relationship. I really didn't know that I'd put that all on her until I had done that work. And I was writing it all down, and I just sort of sat back in my chair like, oh my goodness. And that's often what the experience is like when you're doing the work. It's just this massive eye opening to what you've been doing in your life and you didn't even know.
Yeah, that awareness is so key, to just come to that place of awareness and real honesty with ourselves, so that we can heal and recognize that, you know, we are doing the best we can. Our parents did the best they could, but a lot of our beliefs mm-hmm. and imprints very innocently come from well-meaning parents and teachers and society and really aren't serving us. So it's great when we can really come to that place of awakening and awareness. Although, like you said, I have found in my journey that it has been kind of painful at times, and I think, oh my gosh, if only I had known this years ago. So, yeah, if you could walk us through a little bit, like I know there's 4 questions, and maybe you can mm-hmm. share those questions with us, and then we can lead people through a little bit of an example, because I know a lot of us have the same stuff that we're working with and working through.
For sure. So the work really has 2 main parts to it, if you break it down. The first part, and overall, throughout all of it, the work is a meditative process. Unlike, you know, meditation where you're maybe just quieting your thoughts and not listening to them, this is where you're sort of paying attention to your thoughts. But it still is a process of going in. So the first part of the work is really locating stressful thoughts. And we work on stressful thoughts because those are the ones that are taking us out of heaven. Those pleasing, pleasant thoughts, those loving thoughts we have for people in our lives, those are working for us. So, you know, especially in the beginning, there's really no need to be looking at those positive, quote, positive thoughts. So we look at stressful thoughts. One of the most effective ways that Katie has devised to locate thoughts is a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. She has those for free on thework.com. And then there's other ways too, just writing lists or what have you, or in the moment a stressful thought occurs. And there's a bunch of universal beliefs that we all hold. Katie's worked with people all over the world, war-torn countries, you know, all the way to affluent California. And we're all walking around with these same stressful thoughts like, you know, she doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. He should have listened to me. You know, like I was saying about with my friend, she should invite me places. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. Universally, we all hold these beliefs and we believe they're ours. We think they're our thoughts, but they're really not. It's sort of like the one mind. We're all carrying them. And so when one person works on them, we're all contributing to global peace when we do that. So, and then so once we have located a thought, we isolate it and we sort of bring it forward as a concept and we put it up against the four questions. So, yeah, I mean, if you and I would like to just work through one, it's sort of the best way to demonstrate it to people is for them to just listen to the work. I invite you maybe to find somewhere in your life where you believed that someone didn't listen to you.
Well, it's an easy one for a parent, I think.
Right, yes.
So just choosing now, so is it good to have a specific incident in mind then, or more of a general, my kids don't listen to me?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Sometimes people can do the work effectively, on a general statement, but for the most part, it's much more effective to zoom in on one time and place. And of course, especially when it's something like our children or our spouse, you know, our mind says, well, it's all the time, or it's, you know, we want to find lots of times. But because we're putting up against these four questions and going into that meditative process, it's good to find one time. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the most painful time, just whatever time has come up recently or in the past, or say one of your children, if we could go with that, didn't listen to you and you believed that they should have listened to you. And it could just be something so simple, like they should have put the dishes away, or they should have listened to you when you told them to clean their rooms or something.
Oh my. Yeah, I have several of those examples.
And if you have one just in the last couple of days that you could settle on.
Yeah, let me think here, the last couple of days.
And if not listening to you isn't working for you, it could be anything else, just any other little stressful thing that has come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the cleaning up after themselves comes up almost daily. And so it's almost
Perfect.
Hard to isolate one incident, but...
clean up with after themselves.
Okay, yeah, so it's kind of like they're not listening too, because how many times do I have to ask? There's this glass that's been sitting in, or several glasses in their room. We're running out of glasses in the kitchen, you know, and I go to their room and they have a whole collection there that I've been saying, you know, scan your room before you come down the stairs, clean up after yourself, bring it downstairs.
That's
and then
excellent.
And then it doesn't find its way to the dishwasher either. So yeah, they'll bring it down and that's it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? So I wonder what I'm doing wrong. And
I can really find that. Yeah.
Yeah, quite the thing with my kids not cleaning up after themselves. So yes, they should clean up after themselves.
Perfect. And I think that that's a very great universal belief for all of us parents, because I've got that going on for me right now in my house too. So they should clean up after themselves. So I'll lead you through the four questions and find one of those times where you've walked into their room and you see the glasses scattered around.
Mm.
And so you've got that?
Wrappers.
You've got that. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. So you're seeing it, you're there. And so part of finding your situation is to really make it come alive, you know, notice where you're standing, take in the environment, really ground yourself in seeing this thing happening in that moment and tap into the feeling that you're feeling as you walk in and you see that. And so the first question, there's only four questions. The first question is that true? And the invitation is to just settle on a yes or a no answer. And you'll notice that your mind maybe wants to say, well, sometimes, well, there is that other time, and just settle on yes or no. So, Jerry, as you walk into your children's bedroom, you see all those dishes and glasses and wrappers and things laying around. They should clean up after themselves. Is that true?
Well, I feel like they should, yes.
Good, yes. And yes or no are perfectly fine. There's no wrong answer in these questions. And so the second question, we just get another crack at question one. So again, as you walk into your children's bedroom, they should clean up after themselves. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
Well, no, I guess not. I guess, you know, they'll probably live even if they don't.
Great. So just feel that. Let no settle into your heart. Just feel that. Feel what a no feels like. Because we walk around with these beliefs and we think, especially when it comes to these kind of parenting ones, we can talk with friends and we get a lot of support from people who say, yes, they should clean up after themselves. Absolutely, they should, you know. So this is our opportunity for the first time sometimes to ask ourselves what we believe, what we think. So you came up with a no. So now we'll go to question three. And again, the invitation is to settle in and let your heart answer this, not so much your head. But you're really just going back and collecting as well, collecting what happened. So they should clean up after themselves. What happens? How do you react when you believe that thought as you walk into their bedroom and see that mess?
Well, right away I feel disappointed because, like, I still have this expectation that one day they're just going to get this and it'll be, you know, and especially if I've already asked them and pointed out that they have some glasses to bring downstairs in the room. And I think, my gosh, like, so yeah, I feel sad. I feel disappointed. I feel like a failure as a parent. Like, you know, I must be doing something wrong. Why aren't they cleaning up after themselves? Other kids clean up after themselves. I see, you know, yeah, just like a lot of letdown, disappointment, a little bit of anger and frustration sometimes too. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing disappointment, letdown. There was some comparing going on there, which, you know, is very stressful. And so as you walk into their room, and when you're working with facilitators, sometimes we just spend more time in question three, but for the purposes of this demonstration, we won't do that. But as you walk into their room, this time, everything's the same. You still see the mess. But this time you don't hold this belief they should clean up after themselves. And you're kind of just going to use your imagination here to go back into time and see, who are you? Who would you be without this belief as you walk into their room and see that mess?
Well, I feel a lot more calm. Just more kind of, you know, scanning the room and just sort of sticking to the facts and, like, without judgment. So a lot less judgment, just more acceptance and, you know, of where they're at and their kids and their teenagers. And it has nothing to do with who they are or who they're not.
Yeah, so with the thought they should clean up after themselves, we tend to judge our children and really make it about who they are as people and who we are as a parent. And what I'm hearing you say, without that thought, you're able to just see the mess and see that they're just kids who made a mess. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so how does that feel with that realization? Yeah.
Because it helps me to kind of connect to my own room when I was a child. And I remember being harped on a lot about, you know, the mess and cleaning up. And it just wasn't my priority, you know. and I thought, what's the big deal? Like, so, yeah, it feels much better to just matter of fact. And, yeah, and I lost your last
connection.
Question.
It was just that I was recapping what I noticed was that with the thought, it was, you were stressed, you were judging them, making it personal about them as people. And without the thought,
right,
you sound more relaxed and you're looking at it more matter-of-factly.
Yeah, it's much lighter. Like I can almost just,
the other thing,
you know,
I
see the humor even.
Right.
I remember
compassion.
These days.
That one speaks to compassion, right? Yeah.
It does.
I'm sorry, we're talking over each other just because of the connection, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, what we find a lot in the work, what I come into is compassion. So many times I keep tapping into compassion when I'm doing the work. And that doesn't mean you still don't tell your children to clean their room.
Mm-hmm.
The work isn't about becoming passive or letting people walk all over us or, talking ourselves out of being good parents, whatever that might look like for you. It's that you're going in there, you're standing in that room, more connected to yourself, more compassion for your children, and then you're able to speak in that clear, calm way that actually they can actually now hear, rather than what often some of us do is walk in there and go, I can't believe that these dishes are still here. I've told you how many times, can I get some help around the house? We're guilting, we're shaming, we're, yelling, disconnecting. Whereas when you just see, who am I without holding this belief that they should clean up, I'm more relaxed, I'm more connected, I have compassion. I remember when I was like them. You can tune into maybe what they're needing to learn here about, noticing around them. There's so many things that you can learn in question four when you drop the thought for a moment. So we've done the four questions. And the next part of the work is to do turnarounds. And the turnarounds are ways to see how the opposite, we're just looking at opposites of the thoughts, to see how they could be as true or perhaps even truer. So, for instance, they should clean up after themselves. An opposite would be they should not clean up after themselves. So as you stand in their room looking at the mess, how could it be at least as true that they should not clean up after themselves?
That's a tough one.
It is. And this is where the meditation comes in.
Well, they're kids, I guess there's some learning.
Exactly. Yeah, I heard what you said in question four, which is that it's just maybe not their priority.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be being kids. They should be, playing and connecting and happy and not have to, worry about these things getting done right now. And, it'll get done. Eventually it's going to get done. They're going to run out of glasses to drink out of it. maybe that isn't what they should be doing as a priority.
This word should is difficult when you start working it in this way, because us parents are saying, are you telling me that my kids should just be allowed to do whatever they want and I have to be their maid? No, that's not the purpose of the word. The word should in this context is, when you're standing outside and it's raining and you say, it shouldn't rain on my wedding day. Well, it should, because it is. It's just waking up to reality. The work brings you to what is going on in reality in front of you. They shouldn't clean up their rooms because they're not. That does not mean that you don't get to tell them to please clean up their room or whatever. But to be angry over they should be cleaning up when they're not, that's the insanity part. That's where we're fighting with reality. Standing under a rainstorm and saying it shouldn't rain is pointless. Standing inside of a clean, messy teenager room and saying it should be clean is also pointless.
Right.
Live in stress. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Unnecessary stress, unnecessary suffering, whereas just embracing what is. And the reason we know that it should be this way is because it is this way. Simple.
Exactly. And then when you accept that, you can walk into that room expecting it to be a mess. And now we're not angry and hurt and shaming our children. We can just say, oh, look, the dishes are still here. Clean them up. And you walk out.
Yeah. More, Right, more sticking to the facts and just observing, like, wow, hey,
for sure.
You have been? You must have been pretty busy lately, because wow, look at this room.
Yeah,
or
and
what's
since
going
we just
on
have
in
a
your life that you haven't, had a chance to clean up.
Yeah, you can connect. You can connect and see what's happening in their life first before we start storming at them. They could be going through some. Teenagers especially could be going through a whole bunch of things, a gamut of things. And you could still get around to the dishes eventually, you know. And just because in the interest of time, I'll just walk you through the other two turnarounds. Another one would be, I should clean up after myself. So, you know, where is it in my life I'm not cleaning up? You know, I'm expecting them to do it 100% of the time and just noticing where perhaps I'm not doing it 100%. And again,
there
that
you
leads
go.
Us to compassion.
Yeah, that's the turnaround that I would that I'd say is
for sure.
Very true for me. There are definitely some loose ends in my life that I haven't cleaned up, you know.
Exactly.
And I don't always clean up after myself. There's glasses in my room, and there's, you know, it's not always my priority either.
For
and
sure.
And I just
and
think
then,
like, it can wait.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're thinking, right? So it turns out that we're pretty much like our kids. And here's a radical one to just taste. I should clean up after them. Now, again, as a parent, we're like, what? But really,
yeah.
Sometimes, maybe in that one time, you know, it's amazing when you help someone out, how suddenly they notice how good it feels to be helped. And then they want to help you in return. And when we do that without, all right, I guess I'll clean your dishes up for you. When we don't do it from that perspective, we just do it from, I notice the dishes, it bothers me, and I will clean them up. Sometimes.
Or like the idea of cleaning it up with them or offering to assist, you know, because at least then we're not enabling them.
Yeah, you know, that is another, see, when we're doing the work, that is another great underlying belief there that you just noticed. I'm enabling them if I clean up after them. And that's a great one to question. Because is that true, really?
Yep.
When we help someone out and we clean up after them sometimes, is that really enabling them? You know, is it? I don't know. It'll be a good one. How do you react when you believe that? You know, so it's a good one to question.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah,
that's
it's funny how it uncovers so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love the one.
And it brings
you
to some
connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, like connecting before you correct. I remember reading a parenting book, and that always stuck out for me was that line, connect before you correct. Otherwise, you know,
yeah, I think
if you come storming in, it's just such a disconnecting thing.
Absolutely.
So, yes,
I think
that's
Hold On To Your Kids. I love that book, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Oh, well, thank you. And I know you have some events coming up and that you do personal coaching and things like that. Can you share with our audience how they can connect with you and what you have coming up?
Absolutely. People can find me on, there's a website called kindmind.ca. It's a small team of us facilitators that are working, and you can locate me through the team tab there. You know, or my email is debbie@kindmind.ca. You can also find out about the work through Meetup, meetup.com. There's a Work with Byron Katie, and we put all our events there. Of course, you can learn about the work through thework.com. Lots of resources there. I have an inquiry circle that I run approximately every other week. The next one is on November 8th here in Spruce Grove. And I have an introduction to the work tomorrow night, actually, at the Stony Plain Library from 7 till 9. And if you want to find out about that, you can do debbie@kindmind.ca. You can email me there and find out about that. I also have a big event. I'm planning a big event coming up in April, a weekend workshop on the parent-child relationship. I'm bringing in my mentor from Innerland Institute, Tanya Ferrero, to teach a weekend-long workshop. And it won't be just parents. You don't have to have a child. We all have a parent, you know, dead or alive. So, and even just the way we parent ourselves. So it's the parent-child relationship we'll be doing.
Oh, awesome. Great. So debbie@kindmind.ca?
That's correct, yep.
To get more information about those events and how to connect. Awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough. That was very powerful. I'm inspired to actually continue and do a little bit more work today. So thank you very much. And I look forward to connecting again.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.